This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. On a Victory Monday presented by Shinigo Myos, a 2025 top workplace, visit careerswithmios.com. Show's brought to you exclusively by the law firm Condori and Murat.
We love those guys, and we ask you, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murat can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
On the Rude Guest Hotline, we find our guy Jay Gruden, former head coach in D.C. Jay Gruden joins us every Monday after game.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln in Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, what's up? How you been?
Been good. How you guys doing? I'm down here in Daytona, Florida, coaching the Hula Bowl this week.
Oh, very
cool. Nice, man.
Well, we'll ask you about that in a minute. I'm curious about that. That's pretty sweet. I want to start with a couple of notable items on the Commanders. There was a report over the weekend that Cliff Kingsbury and Adam Peters have been butting heads behind the scenes, and there could be some tough conversations coming, and that Kingsbury may not come back for year three, the final year of his deal, even if he doesn't get a head coaching job. What do you make of that?
Well, that's odd to me because typically the GM and the offensive coordinator don't have contact at all. That's the head coach's job to talk to the GM directly and relay the coach's message to him directly, and the coaches don't have really any, you know, interaction with the GM. So it's odd to me. But, you know, I guess if he's not getting the players he wanted, and maybe he's expressed his frustration in that way. But it's just a weird situation because, like I said, they don't really typically interact.
What would be more likely a reason for them to not be on the same page? Would it be that he's going to him and Quinn, maybe collectively, and asking for schematic changes? Like, hey, we're under center less than everybody else. We're in the no huddle more than everybody else by far. Or could it be, hey, I want my guys on the field. You're not using, I'm just making this up, but like, I need more looks for Sinnott. I need more Luke McCaffrey ops. Like, which one would you think is more what a GM and a coordinator would be at odds about?
Probably that. Mainly the use of Jaden Daniels probably early on, maybe not running them as much or getting them and putting them in harm's way as often as he has. That could be an issue. Personnel-wise, typically the GM doesn't come down and say, I want the quarterback under center, I want this, I want that, from a schematic standpoint. Typically it's from a player standpoint. Hey, you're not using this guy enough in the passing game. You're not using this tight end enough. Maybe not using Ben Sinnott, maybe whatever it might be. It just seems weird that typically that Peters goes to Quinn and then Quinn would go to Kingsbury, if that makes sense.
Jay, what'd you make of yesterday's game? Just a little bit of a slop fest for everybody, and Washington, I guess, was less losery in that game. What'd you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of games like that yesterday. It was a hard watch for, you know, about 14 of the games on Sunday and Saturday. So that's typical of the 17th game of the season when nobody's really 18th, whatever it is, where nobody's playing for anything. You're just trying to get some guys some looks. You're still trying to win and compete. But it's not going to be pretty because there's a lot of backups playing.
Did you guys ever strategically sit anybody either for a full game or for parts of a game at the end of a year and play young kids to both get them experience, but also maybe to ensure that you had a better chance to not lose draft positioning?
Yeah, I think you try to get them in the game, maybe not start them, but try to get them in the game more and try to get their reps in there, try to get them, you know, half a game or three quarters of a game to see what they have, see what they can do. You know, guys maybe been on the practice squad all year, you elevate them for the last game or two and see what they have for next year, because there's going to be some important decisions when it comes to re-signing these guys and signing free agents at certain positions. I mean, do we need to go out and get another running back? Do we need to get another receiver? And you just got to look at everybody on your roster, and there's no better way to do that than play them in a game.
The one that's crazy to me is Hartman. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. It was kind of a big buzz topic around here back before Christmas, and then they went with Josh Johnson, and it just kind of went away. And I think it's mostly because people were, you know, out of the office, out of sight, out of mind, whatever. But it is crazy to me in Week 18 that a 39-year-old journeyman who your brother had in Tampa, you know, almost 20 years ago or whatever, he was on the field for four quarters, and they couldn't get a single snap, having been eliminated from the playoffs for 6 weeks, for Sam Hartman in that game when the Eagles are playing twos and threes like it's the preseason. I just don't get that. It seems insane.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. I love Josh to death. I had him twice, once at Cincinnati, obviously once here. And he's a great competitor and a good guy to have on your roster. But, you know, Week 18, for God's sakes, your 17th game, I think you should look at your, you know, scout team quarterback who's been there all year. You know, he played in the preseason, did a few decent things, but what a great opportunity to go to Philadelphia and see how this guy stands up to a live pass rush. And maybe he plays better than he's looked in scout team, you know, who knows. But that is a head-scratcher. I agree with you on that one.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So, Jay, a word that coaches love and then fans love to kind of throw around as well is accountability. And I understand, just a quick caveat, this isn't college football where if a guy's not going to class or not doing his job on the field, there's another five-star a year behind him kind of waiting in the wings, right? This is the NFL, rosters are limited, et cetera. But my frustration, the biggest one I have, is for a group that coming in this weekend was 4-12. Like, where was my benching? Where was somebody, you know, losing a little bit of playing time to someone waiting in the wings? I understand you're trying to build a culture, but what better way to demonstrate accountability than maybe saying, just kind of to your point here, we'll give somebody else a couple of these reps because you're not getting the job done. It sort of felt like they were very complacent in that regard. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, being a 4-12 football team, there's a lot of issues. People aren't playing that well consistently, and that's why you're 4-12. So surely there are guys on your roster, some backups that deserve a few looks in these situations on the road against Philadelphia. Like I mentioned, it's a great opportunity to see how these guys perform under the lights. And if the guys and the starters who are playing aren't cutting it, then you have to look at somebody else. And I agree with you guys 100%. That's a, you know, that's something maybe Adam Peters is upset about, that maybe they didn't play the guys that they asked them to play. Maybe it's an offensive lineman, a tight end, you know, another receiver down the line or what have you. So, yeah, I mean, it's a missed opportunity for those guys to look at some of the younger players who have been there all year long, busting their ass and trying to get a rep and trying to get a game in, and they didn't do it.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. On Cliff Kingsbury 2 years in, last year obviously was the bell of the ball. They were top five offensively. Daniels had this historic MVP caliber season. They get to the NFC title game. This year, with all the injuries, and they had more man games missed in terms of day one starters on offense than anybody else in the NFL did, and they still finished just outside of the top 10 in offense with second and third string quarterbacks for the majority of the year. I actually think in a lot of ways that's a W, not an L for Kingsbury. What do you think about him overall and the job he did this year?
Yeah, I think he did good battling the circumstances, and that's what you have to do as an offensive coordinator sometimes. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to have the perfect weather. You're not going to have your starters in every game, and you have to make sure you deal with what you have. And I think he did a pretty good job of that. I think Mariota had some really good games, did some really good things. Obviously, Josh got a win yesterday, and so he was able to overcome some of the mistakes or some of the injuries and some of the circumstances that he was dealt with. You know, they weren't you know, awesome at it. I mean, they were competitive, at least. I think defensively is where they kind of missed the mark a little bit. But I think Cliff did a fine job. I mean, being top 15 or 12 with that offensive skill group that was playing without, you know, your number one pick and without Terry and Debo a couple times and Zach Ertz towards the end of the year, that's tough duty.
Jay, what do they need? When you start going shopping, looking at this roster to get back, not necessarily to the NFC title game and being 12-5, but getting back to, you know, more level, more just, you know, not a disaster for next year as they're trying to build something, what do they need?
They need a lot. I think they have to get their priorities straight, and they have to make sure they understand that these are our priority. We got to get a pass rusher somewhere. We got to fix our pass rush. We got to fix our defensive line. We got to fix our linebacking core. We got to fix our secondary. They got to make sure they really address the defense in a major, major way. Offensively, it'd be great to get Jaden another weapon somewhere, somehow. I think tight end has got to be a top priority for him, a guy who can do things in the running game and also in the passing game. Easier said than done. I understand that. And then I'd like to see a game-changing running back, man. It'd be awesome to get a guy that you can hand the ball to, have Jaden with his own reads, and then all of a sudden this guy busting it through for 30, 40 yards. It's a big playability, guy on offense, whether it's a receiver or running back, I think would be huge.
If they stick and pick at 7, would you go edge there if the right guy falls to them? Or, you know, if they were to stay there, would you look at a different position?
I think you got to go most dominant defensive player available, unless it's a superstar type running back or wide receiver that just fell to you in your lap that can change the game and put points on the board. I think you got to look for a guy who scores points for you on offense and a guy who takes them away on defense. But right now, if it was close between a defensive player and an offensive player, I'd have to go defense with what they're dealing with right now. The good thing is free agency is before the draft, typically, so you'll be able to address some of these positions in free agency, hopefully.
Who are some of the young guys that you like? I mean, to me, we're down on pretty much everybody. Understandable, as you said, it's now, I guess, a 5-12 season with a pretty empty win yesterday, but my big issue is there's not a ton of, hey, look at the upside on this guy as you start going down the list. It's Jaden Daniels, and we saw a couple good things from Sam Ristill at times, but you know, where are the young guys that we're really excited about? I think that's kind of my big issue, but are there some young players you go, I'd like to see more of him because you're into it?
Yeah, not really. That's the issue, too. I think when Noah Brown got hurt and Terry McLaurin was out, the no receivers really stepped up. That's a big problem. So I'm really worried about the depth at the wide receiver position. You know, obviously, Bill had a good year running the football in certain circumstances. He did a pretty good job. Him and Rodriguez are a decent 1-2 punch. You know, I still like to see more from those guys. Disappointed in Ben Sinat, his inability to get in the lineup and play. That's a big issue. I think the right tackle, Connerly, did some decent things, but he's got a long way to go in his development. So offensively, yeah, they have a lot of work to do to get some more depth in that building. And then defensively, the cover's dry as far as young players. You mentioned Sainsdrill, but I think other than that, that's pretty much it.
Let's talk Cliff's scheme for a second, if you don't mind. Going no huddle as much as they do, there is no other team that does it. Why not? I mean, is it an asset to do it to the extent that they do, or do they overdo it?
You know, I think it is an asset at times. I think there's a good mix, a good balance to have a little bit of both. You know, I never liked going no huddle all the time, but I didn't like doing it none of the time either. I think that's a good balance to have. You know, it keeps defenses off balance. It eliminates a lot of the substitution things that they can do. And you force the tempo, which is good. But I think huddling up sometimes and changing personnel and doing some things under center, I think, is also a big plus. When you have a big offensive line, I think you can push them around a little bit, get in the huddle and wear them down a little bit, and then hit the play actions off of it. So I think there's a plus to both of them. I would never want to be in no huddle all the time just because I'd run out of code words. You know, people start listening to the words, and they know what's coming. Hey, Wanda, that's weak side inside zone. That's coming right here. So I don't know how Cliff does. He does a great job of changing up his no huddle words and calls, but I would definitely do a little bit of both.
Like, what's a reasonable percentage of the time? Here's why I ask. They run no huddle 64% of the time this year. The number two team in the league is the Saints at 22%. So you're talking about almost three times as much as any other team. And if you go back historically, Cliff's teams were number one in Arizona from 29 to 23. And then in Washington, each of the last 2 years, they've been number one. Now, it was obviously not much of an issue last year, but it didn't work this year.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between no huddle and 2 minute. The Saints are probably in a little bit more 2 minute because they're behind so many times throughout the year. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a preference for the coordinator. Some coordinators like to go no huddle. Some people don't. I think It's very difficult to put in a lot of new plays when you're going no huddle. That's the issue I have with it. If you want to add a new play for a defense this week, and it's hard to come up with a new word, and everybody's got to learn it with on the fly and get the right formation for spots and move people around with motions and all that stuff. I think that's the negative of going no huddle. You can't do a lot of that stuff. You're lining up and calling a play and running it, as opposed to lining up and shifting and motioning guys and try to change passing strength and try to let the defense or see what the defense is doing pre-snap. I think you lose that with no huddle, but some people like it. Cliff obviously does.
They tried a trick play yesterday, if you recall, that flea flicker, which just, you know, self-sabotage there on a bad toss back from Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. But that's something that people were asking kind of throughout the year. Just want to get your thoughts on it. I always feel like it's art more than it is science as to when to call one. You got to have the right feel for it, et cetera. But it's like when you don't have much going on, is that the time to pull out the trick play? Or is it when you're humming a little bit and maybe somebody starts to sit on something? Like, what's your thought process on when to call the trick play and the look you're going for, et cetera?
Yeah, I think when you're humming along, You don't really need a trick play. You feel good about calling the plays that you got. Sometimes if you're stagnant, you need a lift, you need a big spark, big play somehow. I think that's when you pull it out. You know, if you go three and out your first two series, hey, let's try to get something going, hit this trick play or something like that. You know, so there is a feel for it. You know, Ben Johnson's probably the best at it. He calls them probably more than anybody. There was a disaster trick play the other day in the game. The guy fumbled the thing at the 20-yard line going in for Carolina. That was a disaster. So sometimes the cons outweigh the pros on a trick play. You know, like, God dang, we're running the ball pretty good. Now we try a trick play and we fumble the damn thing. So, yeah, there's an art to it. You just got to make sure you practice it. You're good at it. The guys are confident.
Jay, going back to another extreme Cliff percentage, this year shotgun usage for them was about 89%. And they, under center, they were only under center 11% of the time, which was dead last in the NFL. Although, you know, they did get under center more from the last month of the season than they were before. So maybe, and I've kind of speculated behind the scenes, that's something they've been asking him to do more of. But going back to what we were talking about schematically, why is it that it seems like the best offenses, the Shanahan offenses, or a lot of what you did, the right now, like Kubiak in Seattle, Ben Johnson, it's under center, play action, pop shots, using the middle of the field, not much the drop back game from gun?
Well, that's another coach's preference. I prefer to be under center quite a bit because I think you limit the defense and what they can do a lot of times, and there's more things you can do with the play actions and the boots and the keepers. There's a lot of really good plays you can do under center, and you're limited in shotgun to your play actions and your boots. They're just not as good. And then some of the downhill running style with the back 7 yards off, open crossover, roll pound, roll the, you know, get to the line of scrimmage, one cut and go. You lose some of that with the backs, you know. So I think every team should have, you know, at least 45 or 50% under center if they can, if the game dictates it. You know, if they're in the lead or tied or close under center, I think 45, 50% of the time is good. Now, there's some benefits of being a gun. You get the quarterback away from center. The protections are a little bit easier. The ball comes out a little bit quicker, maybe. I think that's the one thing that they're lacking is under center plays.
Jay, I want to go around the league with you a little bit here. That Seattle-San Francisco game feels like a month ago, just with how the sort of start of the new year calendar is going. But they missed a million opportunities on offense and still throttled that Kyle Shanahan offense with most of their pieces raring to go. That was really impressive defensively for Seattle.
Yeah, they're one of the top defenses in the league, and they showed it. And obviously not having Trent Williams really hurt them a lot. I know people say it's just a left tackle. No, this is a major piece of your puzzle when you're running a football to the left and the cutoffs on the weak side. There's so many things, the pass protection that you're lacking when he's out of the game. So that had a major impact. But Seattle is humming right now, and I think Seattle and Houston could be the favorites because both defenses are playing so good.
The team the Texans take on in round one is going to be the Steelers. They survived the Ravens on a missed field goal at the horn last night, 26-24, doesn't really tell the story of that game. There were some fireworks late, final 8 minutes or so. The score was 17-13 before some defensive breakdowns by both teams. What'd you make of that back and forth to end the season?
It's typical of an AFC North game, tough physical football, and then some big plays happen, and then all of a sudden it comes down to a field goal. Unfortunately, Justin Tucker wasn't their kicker. You know, it's just too bad because he's the guy that was the closer for so many years. And that position is very, very important this time of year and come playoff time because the games are going to be close. It's going to come down to a kick in the wind and the cold and the rain. And you got to have a kicker with ice water in his veins. And unfortunately, Baltimore fell short because they didn't have one.
Jay, I kind of discounted the Jaguars when they lost three or four in the middle of the season. You know, I kind of was, okay, this is who they really are after that amazing start with all the turnovers and the like. But you kind of look up and what have they won? Nine in a row at this point or close to it? I mean, they all of a sudden look really, really good. I know they beat the Titans who have already packed it in, but some really impressive wins, including at Denver on the road down the stretch. How legit are the Jaguars?
Just a good football team. And Liam Cohen has done a really good job with Trevor. And Trevor's playing with great confidence. The one thing Trevor was lacking with Coach Peterson and his early career was his overall confidence. You know, he'd play good for spurts, but not for very long amounts of times. And now he's playing good for four quarters. And the Jaguars are dangerous because they can run the football. When you run the football, they get the bootlegs going. They get Trevor some very comfortable and easy throws. And he's hitting the easy ones. In years past, he'd miss the slam dunks. Now he's hitting them, and they're getting big plays, and they really stop the run very well on defense. Their corners are opportunistic. Their safeties make plays. So the Jaguars are dangerous, man. There's no doubt about it.
Jay, of the guys that have been fired today, so Raheem Morris by the Falcons, Kevin Stefanski of the Browns, Pete Carroll with the Raiders, and then Jonathan Gannon of the Cardinals, any of those surprise you at all?
Not really at all, because, you know, Gannon's been there a few years, had a couple opportunities and had to try to fix Kyler Murray. That didn't work out, and they're terrible. And then Raheem kind of surprised me a little bit because they played pretty decent down the stretch, and they had some quarterback issues as well, with Penix going down and going back to Kirk. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. Pete Carroll, that was just an absolute train wreck of a situation out there. They were horrible, non-competitive, so they had to do that. Nothing Stefanski, the quarterback issues with Deshaun Watson and obviously Shador. It's not a good situation over there. They had a ton of injuries as well. The defense played really well. I don't know if they're going to, you know, hire Jim Schwartz as their head coach or try to keep him, but their defense was outstanding throughout the year. So none of them are really surprising. It wouldn't surprise me if anybody gets fired, really. It just the owners nowadays are very impatient. They're all looking for the next Sean McVay or whoever it might be, and good luck.
Jay, I can run through the matchups if you don't have them in front of you, but what's your favorite wild card game as you're going to look at it this coming weekend?
I'm interested in Jaguars and Bills. I think that's going to be awesome. Josh Allen coming to Jacksonville is going to be hopping there, and I know the people there because I'm down here. They're fired up for this one, and to watch Josh Allen against Trevor is going to be a fun one to watch.
Jay, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you as always. We will chat soon.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
There's Jay See Gruden you, on Grant and Danny. He joined us every single Monday after games all season long.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling. All home to Tebbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebbert.com.
Closing in on being about an hour and a half away from the big press conference, Adam Peters speaking for the first time since the season began on what went wrong this year, the GM of the Commanders. The head coach, Dan Quinn, will be with him at the presser. It starts at 5. It'll go about a half hour. We'll have all of it right here on The Fan next. We haven't really given our thoughts on the story that Peters and Cliff Kingsbury are at odds. So let's get into that next on G&D right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
I think so much of Cliff, like, a very good coach, unbelievable with the quarterbacks, but like an even better person. And when you're able to play for somebody that you truly like believe in and trust, I think that's why I ended up playing my best. So
that's Marcus Mariota talking about Cliff Kingsbury, Washington's OC. So to my knowledge, he signed a 3-year deal to be their coordinator 2 years ago, so he has 1 year left on his deal. This was from Diana Rossini of The Athletic on Saturday. This report dropped. She said, Washington has already had conversations about potentially moving on from Cliff Kingsbury, even if he doesn't get a head coaching job. Some in the building say there's been a disconnect between Kingsbury and general manager Adam Peters. When was the last time we were watching to see if an offensive coordinator was going to get fired? While he was also preparing for head coaching interviews, we'll see how this shakes out. So I've done some digging and some due diligence on this, and what I can find is, what I've heard is, that it is probably true that Peters and Cliff are not always on the same page, that there have been some butting of heads in that relationship, which honestly does not really surprise me that much. Peters is in lockstep with Quinn on most things. I think that's largely part of why Quinn got the gig, if I'm being frank. I do think, and I've been told this for years, like Kingsbury kind of marches to the beat of his own drum a little bit. He runs his half of the building. He's going to call and run his offense the way he wants to. And there's a little bit more, I would imagine, of pushback or, you know, willingness maybe to kind of be your own guy and step outside a line. We saw that with the Terry McLaurin negotiation that never ended in training camp. Who was the guy a couple of times?
That's right.
That came out and said something to the effect of,
all right, it's time.
This needs to end. We need this guy on the field. It's
That's
time.
A good
we
point.
Need time on task. Dan Quinn never said that.
No, you're right. That's a good point.
He did the same thing that Peters was doing. He kind of stuck.
We're not going to miss our mark. Return to play. Yeah.
Whereas Kingsbury, that was just a very small window into it, was kind of like, okay, this is enough. Let's get this done. I'm paraphrasing.
That's a sharp point.
But I think that was a little window into, he is a little bit more of his own guy in that way. So not stunned. Do I think that it's very common for executives and coordinators to butt heads during terrible seasons? Absolutely. Is it perilous? Is it untenable? Those are the things I care about. And I don't necessarily think that that's the case. If I had to guess, I'd say he'll probably be back. But we're at a point now, Danny, where they're going to replace the DC.
Yep.
And where there's a very real possibility that they're getting a new offensive coordinator too. Because they do need to have some tough questions. And my guess is that Peters does want to do things differently offensively. And you have to find out if Cliff is amenable to that or not.
There's a million factors and things that we just don't know. For example, is this routine? In other words, nothing routine about a 4-12 run and then this empty calorie win to get you to 5-12, but I'll just call it 5-12. There's nothing routine about going 5-12 when you win the NFC title game last year. There's nothing routine about everything possible that could have gone bad going bad. Like, anytime there was a fork in the road, it was the bad fork. This was as horrendous a season as this organization has had in some time. This was pre-Harris, pre-Peters. This is Bill Callahan waiting for the year to end so we can go play golf, trying to get games over as quick as possible, and everyone's going to lose their job bad. That's how bad this was. In fact, that group lost by fewer points than this group did over the course of this year as they were losing game after game after game, especially during that, you know, kind of one hellacious stretch. So how much of this is, hey, everyone's upset, normal arguing that happens in an alpha environment of pro sports? How much is it real discord that's grown beyond
right.
the normal frustration? Hey, why didn't you run Bill more times in the fourth quarter? Why don't you let me do my job? And everybody apologizes Monday? Or is it ongoing strife?
The fact that this got out, though, as a leak tells you that there is trouble in paradise.
Mm.
That it's more than just a couple of disagreements, in my opinion. We went 2 calendar years almost with zippy of this.
That's true.
These types of leaks are when there's animus and acrimony or jealousy or annoyance and frustration. Like, then you start to see the agents doing some chirping. There was none of this in what was a very tight-knit building a year ago. And when you're winning, there's not going to be. This year has been a disaster. Everybody knows
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
As I was seeing this report,
we're used to this, by the way. This oh, totally. We do this well. We know these.
We got this covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading this on Saturday, and what came to me was, you know, we have talked pretty constantly about how safe Dan Quinn is. And I think we were right. Like, there was never any chance that he was going to lose his job. Same with Adam Peters. And it's all based on the NFC Championship run last year. But here's what I do wonder. What if Zane Gonzalez's doink last year was 2 inches further to the right? 2 inches
mm-hmm.
further to the right. And it bangs off of the upright and comes back out rather than bouncing in. And the Bucs get the ball back and go down and kick a winning field goal. And you lose in the first round of the playoffs after a year when you had one win over a team that was over 500. And that came with an asterisk because you beat the Eagles led by Kenny Pickett after Jalen Hurts got hurt when they were up 2 touchdowns on you. And then you came back to win. But very Patriots-esque, where everyone's beating up on New England, saying they didn't play anybody, whatever. You would have had that regular season, as amazing as it was, and lost right away in the playoffs. I really believe, as we sit here, I don't think it's a crazy thing to say, that Dan Quinn would be fired right now. If Zane Gonzalez's kick doinks out, not in, and they don't beat Detroit, and they don't go to the NFC title game, and then you have the year you just had, which is bad enough that this thing's in the shambles that they're going to have a new DC and maybe a new OC, I think they would probably, at that point, he would have essentially an identical record to Raheem Morris, who just got fired last night, with a playoff appearance and 0 playoff wins. And I think it'd be a very real possibility they would move on from him entirely. We're talking about 2 inches away from that.
I think it's a fair conversation. Now, the specifics, and I'm not refuting the general point with specifics. I hate when people do that. But, you know, Josh Harris is pretty notorious for being a little bit more patient, and maybe that's something that would have happened. But it'd be much more of a conversation, I think, at a bare minimum. And I think that's the essential point here. Is you don't get a Hail Mary. You don't get the 10 different things that broke exactly right for you last year the way that they did, then yeah, it's a much more real conversation. In fact, it's probably more likely than anything else. But because you got those deposits in the bank, I was there too, I had a blast, he's sort of immune from prosecution, so to speak, right? And it would be a lot more on the table. This would be one of the first 3 or 4 places mentioned on the Shouty shows and the NFL shows where they're talking about Black Monday and everything between.
Dan Quinn being safe because of last year makes sense to me, and I agree with it and I get it, but it only makes sense from the standpoint of if you look at it and you feel like it was an authentic foundation to something, and this year is the outlier based on injuries, essentially. In other words, if you look at last year as like a magical carpet ride and you go, this idea of getting to an NFC title game where you gave up 55 points and got blown out of the gym should not keep you safe when a quarterback did this otherworldly thing and kind of dragged you through the fight all the way to the NFC title game. I get that argument too, right? It's not like they, you know, it came down to a field goal or something. They gave up 55 points. They got outclassed. They looked like they didn't really belong. But it is what it is. When you get to a championship game in your first season, you're probably going to keep your job. But I just get thinking about that as I'm going, wow, they could have 2 new coordinators? Like, when you're a head coach, there's only a couple things that happen generally before you lose your job. You've got to take play calling duties away from someone. Check. You know, you're moving coaches around from the booth to the field. Check.
Yeah.
Then you're blowing out coordinators. Check. Maybe both of them this year. Like, this is maybe closer than we thought to ownership sitting down with Dan Quinn and having that come to Jesus conversation where they're going, hey, guess what, man? We're keeping you. But we don't have to keep you. Like, we're keeping you because we want to. But just so you know, this was horrific enough that we could easily fire you and feel okay about it.
Yeah, that is the conversation I would have. And I've been beating that drum for a month, basically, is I want you to know I'm not going to. So rest assured, sit comfortable in this chair. But I'm telling you right now, look at this data I've got for you. I am so within my rights to dismiss you. I am so within my rights to say I never want to see you or anybody else in this building again. Turn in your key card. You got to go. We'll have security escort you out and we'll pack up your knickknacks. It was that bad. And to your point, I don't know that they're going to fire. I don't think that's on the table. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I'm always the guy that's kind of last to believe something is real in a lot of these cases. But I think they're going to go, oh no, Cliff got another job. Anyway, and move on very quickly. Because I think the way this hiring cycle is going to go.
That is the thing about you, by the way. You just hit on something.
Yeah.
Scott Brooks isn't going. Bruce Allen's not going. Tom Brady's not leaving.
Never leaving New England.
You got to see it to believe it a little bit.
In a lot of cases,
but on Peters and Kingsbury, to your point, on this report from The Athletic, what I want to know is the disconnect over scheme and Quinn? Peters, but Quinn and Peters are going, like, Dan Quinn's Super Bowl run came with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
Those are his types of OCs, right? He had McDaniel in his building, those guys. Where did Peters just come from? San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan. Are they going, bro, we're in no huddle 68% of the time. We can't play complimentary football this way. You're going to kill the defense. We got to get under center. I mean, they went under center the last few weeks of the season more. Was someone in his ear? Were they fighting? Were they butting heads over it?
I mean, they said on the telecast that Josh Johnson's, quote, not as comfortable in the no huddle at times. So that was an adjustment.
Maybe that was part of it.
But was it? You know, who knows?
Or was it about usage?
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe AP is sitting there listening to us and going, you guys get it. You know, he agrees with us. I'm not saying he's doing anything because we're saying it. That would be ridiculous. But I'm saying, you know, if he were to hear us, he'd be like, you're right. Ben Sinnott should be playing more and getting more targets. It's absurd that he's not. You're right. Luke McCaffrey should be the first guy to get an opportunity when Terry's not available for weeks on end. I don't know why he's not. And like he's saying, you got to play my guys. You got to give us a chance to see what's what. Why are we giving up on Brandon Coleman after three games to go to a former seventh round pick from another regime? Is it usage? Is it scheme? I would love to know. We just have no idea.
Yeah, and I'd love to know what Kingsbury's side of it is. Right? I mean, if it's a Peters is annoyed, if Kingsbury's annoyed, is it a, could you give me some ingredients here to try to have some kind of meaningful offense? I don't have a single deep threat. What am I supposed to do?
Based on the team's Hard Knocks style offseason stuff, we know he made the Josh Connerly pick, essentially.
Yeah.
Remember, he left the note for, saying he, meaning Cliff Kingsbury, left a note like NFL draft starring Kevin Costner.
Draft day, yeah.
Trying to get Josh Connerly. So he got his guy there. We have the video where Peters calls over who he calls Cliffy. I don't know if he's still calling him Cliffy or not, based on this report. He's like, Cliffy, what do we
think? Clifford now. Like, yeah. More formal.
And what's his middle name? Cliff Aaron Kingsbury?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Cliff, get in my office. Cliff Aaron Kingsbury. But he calls him over and he's like, you want Sinnott? Like, what do you want to do here? And he's like, yeah, get me Sinnott. So, I mean, it's not like he hasn't gotten some of his guys. Those are two pretty high-profile picks that we've seen videos of Kingsbury being heavily involved in the process. If you want to hop in on the report that the GM and the OC are butting heads, and what this means for Cliff, we will do that as the show continues today on Grant and Danny. Our double plays coming your way in just a few. I want to get into the NFL playoff bracket ahead this weekend next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
It's a Victory Monday on the Fan, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. It's Black Monday in the NFL. There have been four head coaches fired. By the way, the opening in Tennessee, which has been vacant.
It's been open, yeah.
Since week six or so. Mike Borgonzi's the general manager there, and his role has actually grown. He's taking over kind of all duties as their chief executive this offseason. The first name on their list to interview, Chiefs OC Matt Nagy, after a really disappointing year for that offense that looked pretty dated with he and Andy Reid. That's a relationship interview.
And that doesn't sound like a great, based on production.
Borgonzi, longtime GM assistant with the Chiefs and high-ranking official with Nagy there. So I feel like that's a, hey, bud, I'll give you an interview kind of favor. But I am going to tell you, Danny, if Matt Nagy's getting interviews, Cliff Kingsbury's going to get interviews.
That's a great way to think about it, yeah.
There are not a lot of offensive options. I keep saying, like, look at the hot OC candidates. There is no Ben Johnson. There's one guy in Clint Kubiak that a lot of people are going to want. There's a retread who just got fired now in Kevin Stefanski, who is absolutely going to get a job if he wants one. Outside of those two guys, who is the hot commodity OC? So if you want a play caller, if you want an offensive-minded guy, Kingsbury is going to be more intriguing and appealing and higher up the list of people that you're looking to call than he would a lot of other years.
Yeah, it's the big leap guys like Mike LaFleur, who's OC in L.A., right? It's not someone that's actually running the offense, calling plays,
and look at his resume without McVay or Shanahan.
Right.
You know, he was the Jets OC and got blown out there amid chaos.
So, I mean, there are a few names, and these are not, as you said, the buzzworthy, everyone's climbing all over themselves to try to interview these guys' names, but there's some decent ones. Todd Monken, OC in Baltimore. But the point is, Kingsbury's very much in the mix because of what he's done resume-wise, it's enough. This year, you can go, it depends on which way you're looking at the glass, half full of water. You can go, man, we're, you know, we're top half of the league in yards per play with nothing this year. With their quarterback injured, everyone in the lineup, not much good. Someone could also go, you mean the team that's 25th in points? That guy? We're going to interview him? But again, this is not a unbelievably talent-rich candidate pool.
14 playoff teams make up the playoff pool. The Broncos got the one seed in the AFC, so they'll be idle this weekend. And the Seahawks, with a franchise record 14 wins under second-year head coach Mike McDonald, who Washington interviewed when they hired Dan Quinn, they are the one seed in the NFC. Mm-hmm. They will also not be playing this weekend. So 12 teams in action, six games. Here's your schedule. Saturday doubleheader, 4:30 and 8 o'clock local. Game one, Rams-Panthers. We get what could be the most lopsided game right out of the way at 4:30 with the Rams and the
Certainly
Panthers.
Certainly on paper, right? I mean, sometimes we get surprised, but that's the one team belongs, the other team's the Panthers.
Carolina did beat the Rams about 6 weeks ago.
That's right.
If you remember. But that felt like you caught them in between some important games kind of contest. Carolina gets in at 8-9 with one of the worst point differentials in recent playoff history. Then at Saturday night at 8 p.m., this is one of my favorite matchups of this slate.
I got the intrigue here.
Packers-Bears, third time in like 7 weeks, NFC North. Remember when Ben Johnson got the job inexplicably for no reason? He called out Matt LaFleur. He was talking about like, I can't wait. There's a lot of good coaches in this division, and I get to beat Matt LaFleur twice a year. And everyone's like,
What?
Huh? He's buddies with Matt LaFleur. That's funny. I texted Matt LaFleur. I'm like, hey, man, why do you know Ben Johnson? Like, what's that about? He's like, I don't. Whoops. That was weird. Anyway, Packers-Bears, 8 p.m. That's a Prime-only game. Hopefully you've got the app.
Indeed.
Prime Video.
That's your rubber match right there. Overtime, the last time these two teams played, the first matchup was pretty compelling as well. I believe it was a field goal game.
Came down to the wire.
Green Bay won.
Caleb Williams threw a pick in the final minute and a half.
That's what that
one
was,
right?
In the
red zone.
Yep.
Darius and I watched that game in Minnesota from a sports bar right after we watched. Did the Commanders score that day?
No. I'll tell you what they did. No, they didn't.
31-0.
31-0.
Vikings.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Sunday triple header. Bills-Jaguars. Are we wasting the good surprise on you? Are we wasting one of the best games in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday?
That's sneaky, my second favorite game.
That's a really good
game.
That's
my second favorite game of the weekend.
That's Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence's music.
When I do my annual wild card round predictions,
yes.
I had that locked in as the Saturday night game. I can't believe that they wasted that for Sunday 1 o'clock.
I like Bears-Packers Saturday night. Here's what I would have done. I would flip Chargers-Patriots, which is Sunday night football, 8 East time. And I know what the networks want. They want Justin Herbert and Drake May. But can I interest you in Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence? Bills-Jaguars, game one, 1 o'clock. 4:30, God, this is the best football day ever. I'm going to eat 107 wings and not get off my couch. Game two, Sunday afternoon, 4:30. Niners-Eagles. I feel like we get that a lot. For some reason, San Francisco never has a quarterback when they play that playoff game with Philly. It's always like Christian
McCaffrey has to take snaps
in the shotgun or Josh Johnson or something. But that's your 4:30 game. And then Sunday Night Football, Herbert and May, Chargers and Patriots. Let's go.
Sign me up.
Monday Night Football. Save the best for last. Texans, Steelers.
Nobody asked me. And I'm telling you, no one should ask me. But if they did, I would have said, let's not make that one our big Monday showcase standalone situation.
For some reason,
I'd have buried that as much as possible.
I don't know how the draft order works with the networks, but
does Monday night have the last pick?
Yes. I'm telling you, I'm not doing a bit.
I think
Monday Night Football is down the board.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they just always get the game that I'm like, I guess I'll watch this one tomorrow.
I mean, this one's on, so I'll watch it, but
it's always a 4-5. On that Monday night matchup.
Yeah.
Always is. And how about the Texans graduating from the Saturday 4:30 spot, by the way?
Good for them.
That's good.
Hey, that's neat.
First time the Texans have not played at 4:30 on Saturday. Seriously. First time ever that they've gotten out of the 4:30
Well, they just have, you know how that for hockey, they're like, here's a guy that used to play here with no helmet, and they have him come out and do the ceremonial face-off. Could we just have TJ Yates do a ceremonial snap for the Texans in that one? It feels like it's supposed to happen, right?
You know who he coaches for, don't you?
No.
The Falcons. He might be out of a job. He's on Raheem's staff in Atlanta.
He He was.
Yeah. Number one game. I'm going to go Green Bay, Chicago.
That's mine.
You have a Ben Johnson alert over there somewhere? Curious to see if the Bears can get out of round one. Also, LaFleur supposedly could be, if they don't look good and play well or something, like in trouble. That seems insane to me.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
I mean, LaFleur would get a job in 14 seconds.
In microseconds.
Game two, Bills, Jaguars.
Uh-huh.
Just you realize Jacksonville's point differential down the stretch this season, how good it is? They're outscoring teams by a million points. Let me write this down. I've got a bunch of fun little stats, notes that I jotted down somewhere here. Their last 5 weeks of the season, point differential is wild. Chase Young, Derrick Henry, Browns, Harold Fannin. I can't find it. I got too many good notes here.
You got a lot of notes. You have a Chase Young note, by the way? All of us did. A whisper quiet, awesome season.
Chase Young's last four games, 5 sacks, 6 TFLs. Last 7 games, 7 sacks. 9 TFLs, 9 quarterback hits.
Kind of put together a year, didn't he?
It's happening, guy.
Didn't he?
It is happening. DPOY loading
easy.
2026.
Easy.
Chase Young's about the ball, bro. Why can't I find my Jaguars notes? Oh, here we go. Point differential since week 11. Jacksonville, plus 153.
Good Lord.
Number two in the NFL, New England, plus 97. They're 56 points better than anybody else in point differential. Since week 11. They're blowing everyone out.
Yeah, they're legit good. I wrote them off, as I said. Now we look back at some of those losses. They were against really quality opponents. Same pathology I did with Houston, right? Except Houston I gave the benefit of the doubt to. I did not for Jacksonville. They are legit. They're a little bit of a freight train right now.
Can I do an impression for you?
Go. It's going to be me sleeping. I know. I already know it. I know what it is. All right. Do I say Grant, wake up? Or hey, wake up, man.
Hey, I'm Danny.
Danny, wake up.
Who's Liam Cohen? What's his deal?
Damn it.
It's Danny sleeping on Liam Cohen.
Duval.
Silly Liam Cohen. Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz comes your way next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Maybe with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code AUDIO.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of 5-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.